Text on screen. Running your business. Growth plans.
Johan, to start it off with you. For entrepreneurs, when they start in general and have just kicked off their business, what in general should they be mindful of?
I think it's a lot of things that you need to be mindful for once you actually start the business. There's all kinds of processes that you need to work with. You need to know where you're going. You need to keep your eye in the direction that you want to go with your business, but you need to set everything in place and in motion. I think that's the most important step. Get your clients, get your paperwork up and running, and start going in the direction where you want to go.
And what type of aspects come running with that, setting your business and getting the legal work done?
Getting the legal work, well, I think the most important one is setting up your taxes. So at that point, get your money streams in order. I think for most startup companies, that's the most important part. But once that's taken care of, then it's going to be doing the actual business, getting out there, get your name known, get your clients, and start doing what it is that you're good at doing.
Great. So these are all aspects that we will just zoom in later on in this webinar. First, let's meet our entrepreneurs. Welcome to both of you. And Jetta, to start off with you, you have founded a really special company around a special baby product, special baby carriers for especially small babies, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate?
Well, it is a pretty niche business. We're looking at really changing the care approach to newborns, but to children actually in their first 1,000 days of life. It's all evidence-based, and it started around a baby carrier, but it's actually a much larger angle towards what we're doing. But
maybe to explain it a bit more, we can watch this video you made.
Yeah, I think that would be easier for people to understand.
Hi, I am Jetta. I am founder of Baby Moon Care, and we are working to change infant care to an attachment model all over the world. I started as an entrepreneur overall in baby carriers. It was 2006, I had my first son. So I started wearing my son. I was in love with the concept of that, and like step by step, I would figure out all the benefits it brought to me. 2006 up till 2010, I was just making baby carriers. I wanted to not do the business, but then the world told me like, no, we need you to do this. That's when I started working with the maternity hospitals in Moldova and like working more on a system of care rather than just a device. Baby Moon is actually a much more complex system than just a carrier company. Well, I come from Moldova. I am in the Netherlands since 2016. Since then, there was a lot of groundwork covered. And now we're working in the Scandinavian region, in Benelux. And we have a big important project coming up with Tanzania, Kenya, and that's done together with the United Nations. So we have a lot of stuff going on. Back at the time when I came up with the concept, for me, this was just fiction. And then here I am in the Netherlands, and here I am connected by the Dutch entrepreneurial environment to the United Nations. And here I am making that fiction that I came up with 4 years ago a reality. So that's mind-blowing to myself even. But aside from connections like this, you get really huge opportunities, and there are so much more doorways opened to build a global business. So that's valuable.
So Geta, how would you characterize the current state that your company is in? And in a nutshell, how did you get there?
Well, in a nutshell, it took a lot of effort and a lot of research and adapting to the environment where I ended up. But the current state would be like we're right about to take off. So that's pretty exciting.
That's super exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And Karim, to now introduce you, you have, if I remember correctly, an online platform for expats in the Netherlands so they can connect to each other. How would you describe your rise to the stage that your company is at right now?
Well, actually, I started off as a hobby, just doing events and meetups for expats, because it's hard to move to a new country with no friends and no network. So it started to grow as a hobby, and then we started to do bigger events and more events, and then we became also more online and with the pandemic, and we have articles and webinars. So that's kind of how we grew, and we got a lot of attention, and so people just started contacting us. And
amazing. Yeah. Let's also start, watch your video.
Cool. My name's Kareem Savary. I'm from Canada, and the name of my company is Expat Republic. We are an English media company based in the Netherlands, and we provide content and events and knowledge for expats to make their life fruitful and enjoyable while they're in the Netherlands, to help them also grow their network. In fact, it was a hobby. I noticed that a lot of expats were didn't have a lot of friends, they didn't have a network, so I stepped in and I enjoyed organizing events, so I just started doing loads of events and meetups to kind of help them not be lonely, essentially. We try and cover all walks of life for expatriates and internationals. So for instance, we will have a basics of investing webinar. We will have a seminar about buying your own home. We will just do drinks, like super easy, just so people can meet and connect and grow their personal and social network. So you want to kind of give them that feeling of being at home. The way we make money is very simple. It's a media company the same way a magazine makes money, with advertising. But the idea is, it's a sort of smart advertising. It's helpful, it's knowledgeable. It's not inconvenient or intrusive. We really like to transfer knowledge to our audience, or transfer something nice to them so that they have a good feeling, right? And so as a partner that will like to do that, to provide that to an international audience, we're the perfect vehicle for that. So for me, the Netherlands is an incredible place to be an entrepreneur. Loads of opportunities. Easy to do business in, very direct, very honest, very straightforward. Lots of opportunities, access to capital, access to labor force, good system in place that makes doing business very easy. And you can also do it in English.
So Kareem, are you also planning on professionalizing your business further?
Of course, we're always looking to grow. We're already quite professional, I would say. We're of course looking to grow and to expand to other European countries as well.
And are you also looking then to maybe turn it into a different legal structure?
Yeah, of course, that's probably something we should have done already, but everything has its time. So I just want to make sure that things are done in a structured way that works for us, and that we can continue to grow with a good foundation properly.
So you are indeed looking to see maybe if you can change that.
Yes.
Because especially when starting a business, also growing a business, that legal structure can change. Mm-hmm. So that's a really important aspect that we will also dive in later on in this webinar. Thank you so much. But maybe before we dive into that deeper, Johan, could you explain to us what different legal structures there are in the Netherlands?
There are quite a few legal structures that you can choose from. I think the most well-known are the sole proprietorship, in Dutch called the eenmanszaak, which is the legal form most startup businesses choose when they register. But there are legal structures for partnerships, that's also possible. And you have the possibility to register a legal entity, most common being the liability company, being the BV.
What is the main difference then between a sole proprietorship and a BV?
I think there's two. They're different when it comes to liability. As a one-man business, you're personally liable. As a legal entity, you're not. So that's a huge difference. On the other end, when it comes to taxes and you're a startup business, you might benefit just a little more from the sole proprietorship than you would as a legal entity.
So when should you review your legal structure in that case?
I'd say that once you start growing, the business starts increasing, there's more money going around, your liability becomes a bigger issue, you might want to start working with staff, all elements that increase your liability. That could be a point in which you make the change into a legal entity. And I would also say, look at taxes. Once you start paying too much taxes as a sole proprietor, I think that's going to be the cue from your accountant or your bookkeeper to make the change into a legal entity.
Yeah, so that of course would be a huge advantage to change.
Yeah,
are there other main advantages to switching to a BV?
Depends. If you go international, there could be an argument. Being a director of a legal entity in foreign countries is easier to explain than having a sole proprietorship. That could be one. And I'd say if you start working with investors, that's also then also a BV becomes more interesting because you can have investors who can have shares. And that's not possible if you have a sole proprietorship or a general partnership.
And how should an entrepreneur know when their business would actually qualify as a BV if it wants to take advantage of all of this?
I'd say that you'd normally have your accountant who's going to look at your bookkeeping. They're going to give you a cue. And I'd say that if you want to work with investors and scenarios like that, you'll find out that that's the only possibility. But keep in mind that it's not always necessary to change. You can start off as a one-man business or general partnership and change into a legal entity, but there are also a lot of people who don't and who stay sole proprietors or partnerships their entire business career.
Jetta, you actually started as a BV.
Yeah.
Did you feel that as an advantage, and why did you choose for that?
Well, in my case, when I came to the Netherlands in 2016, I came as part of a business acceleration program. And this was the structure that they advised us from the very start. And we actually have a holding company owning the shares inside the BV, and then the investors come along and there's the whole stock. So it's a bit more sophisticated structure. Was it a good or a bad choice? I'm not sure. It worked for me so far, so I can't complain, but yeah.
So for you, it probably was a good choice at that point.
Yeah, in some ways, yes.
Yeah. And Johan, what will you say that the transition to BV is always a logical next step for sole proprietorship?
No. As I mentioned earlier, that for some it is. And I'd say based on the growing of your business and your liability increasing and profit increasing, that could be a reason to change. Having an investor on board could help making that transition. But for some, it goes from a sole proprietorship to a legal entity, and for a lot of others, it doesn't, and they're going to stay the exact same way as they start now. There's really, it's not mandatory. You don't need to go to a legal entity at some point. There's a choice, and the choice will depend on your specific situation and your needs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We will come to talk about the tax situation of a sole proprietorship and a BV in the next chapter. For there's much more to this. But first, let's continue with a bird's eye view on the growing and expanding of your business.
Animation of a city.
Business is going well for Mike. He wants to expand. What are his options? Should he expand his product range, hire staff, start trading internationally? How about opening a branch office? Expansion comes with risks, and Mike needs to know what they are. Is there a market for his new products? Does he need extra insurance for international business or permits? Mike needs a growth plan to help him focus. He visits business.gov.nl, the point of single contact website that offers entrepreneurs complete and up-to-date government information. Here, he finds all he needs to know. The market research he has done is the input for his marketing plan. He knows which products show the most promise. Research into the national and international market has shown him where to focus his efforts. Next, he has to think about promotion. He needs to consider his target market to find the right mix of traditional and online marketing tools. Financing is an essential part of growing. Now that Mike knows what he wants to do, he needs to decide how to finance the expansion. Go for one source of funding or for a mixture. Market research, marketing, and finance. Those are the ingredients for a growth plan that will work. Mike knows how to move forward. And so can you, with a little help from business.gov.nl.
End of video.
Johan, do you have a general recommendations for businesses when they think of growing?
I think that you'll be looking at what your plans were right from the beginning. I think that makes I think that's a nice starting point. Once you started your business, you had a plan, you had a vision, you had somewhere you wanted to go and where you wanted to end up with your business. I think it's always good to keep an eye on what your plans were. Are you still on track? Are you still going in the direction where you want to go? So for those who wrote a business plan, keep working with that specific plan. Look at what you were estimated on doing. And on top of that, you'll be looking into possibilities of growth. You might want to start writing a growing plan, saying that I'm here now, I'm still in line with what I intentionally planned. But how am I going to go to the next step? And you'll be thinking about expanding product, expanding market. You might want to look into hiring personnel, relocating, all that kinds of stuff is the next step. And that's the thing that you'll be thinking of.
Yes, exactly. So this growth plan actually is sort of key to first taking that next step.
Yeah.
What aspects would you deem are most important to be named in this growth plan?
I'd say that look at financing, look at staff maybe, look at your location, your legal structure maybe. I'd say that those elements are the things that you need to look into.
Sounds logical. Kareem, growth plan, does that ring a bell? Did you put anything on paper?
Of course I did, but you always have to refine things. It's about moving your business 1% per day. That's my motto.
Wow. That's
so,
a good
one. So any remarks to the growth plan that Joan just sketched?
Essentially, you do look at your growth plan. You do. We do put things on paper. We do take a look at, okay, what's the next logical step for us? I'm not a fan of keeping things super rigid, right? Because things always change on a day-to-day basis. As long as the general direction doesn't change, I think you're good.
That sounds very logical. And how do you make sure that everyone, and of course you, are able to keep focus in that case?
Well, it's very simple. You focus on your clients and you, in our case, focus on our audience. So if you keep those two happy, you have to, keeping the focus is about keeping your customers and your stakeholders happy, essentially. And if you can do that, you're usually going to end up in the right way.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, are there also any special remarks for non-Dutch entrepreneurs?
Definitely. Well, the Netherlands is a really great place to do business. I would say just know the regulations, get to know what sort of company you want to start. And basically, because at the end of the day, a business is about having customers. So find your first customers. And it's quite easy to do in the Netherlands just because of the business-friendly environment. It's quite good, actually. So,
oh, that's good to hear. That's good to hear.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, it answered it definitely. And now I would like to see what your strategy base is. So I have a statement for you.
Sure.
In the running of your business, you should always go after opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Jetta, to maybe start with you.
Well, you should definitely seek opportunities, but you don't take all of them. You take the ones that work for you and in line with your planning and your business directions, because otherwise you just waste effort and then you're all over the place. So who needs that when you want to build something specific, right?
Do you agree with that, Karim?
Absolutely. Opportunities, it's always going for the right opportunities, but I don't agree with being opportunistic.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? It's really, it has to match with your overall vision, absolutely.
And you, Johan, as a business consultant,
yeah.
Do you agree with the statements?
Yeah, they're both right, and it has to work for your situation. It needs to be you, your business, your planning, and you need to keep an eye open for possibilities. But in the end, it needs to suit your business, and they both make that happen. So yeah,
they
I totally agree.
Yes, yeah. They certainly do. So Jetta, looking at opportunities, what is your next step with Baby Moon?
Well, right now, we have a lot of work to do on our plate because we're literally like in the middle of launching on both our business directions, because we have a direction for consumer market and one for the health. So, but first of all, we have two parallel lines of work. So, and the team is small enough at this point, so we can't afford looking for opportunities that are not on our radar, that are maybe great and amazing and fantastic, but right at this point of where our business is, we have to put value to what all the pre-work that has been done, launch, get to, get the goals that we were looking at, and then after that we can maybe take a phase of searching for an opportunity, for other opportunities, at a stage when we're kind of transitioning to another step.
Exactly. And I can imagine, especially with the team you're describing, financing and launching is really important in this.
Yeah.
But we can dive deeper into that later on. Great to hear that. Karim, maybe a question for you again. Mm-hmm. What is at the top of your list, the first thing you do once you actually are BV?
That's a good question. honestly, it really doesn't change much, to be honest, because I'm going to do the exact same thing I do every morning. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to think about my customers and the people I need to help. So the legal structure is kind of a transparent thing, and you probably want to just hand over all that accounting and tax stuff to someone who knows what they're doing. And of course, you can visit our website for those companies.
Good to mention, good to mention. Thank you. Let's summarize what we've discussed. The big picture of running a business and reviewing the legal structure because of the changes. You should write a growth plan and try to keep the focus on where you're going. You can find all the information you need on business.gov.nl.
Scrolling on screen text, business.gov.nl. Text on screen, government information for entrepreneurs. Text on screen. Thank you for watching.